Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Mike Gerisi to the broadcast. Mike is the Chief Information Officer of Royal Caribbean Cruises, an $8.5 billion revenue, award-winning global cruise vacation provider that operates diverse itineraries around the world to destinations in all seven continents. As CIO, Mike collaborates with the Royal Caribbean business functions to proactively identify and understand business and operational issues and to solve those issues through technology solutions. Prior to his time at Royal Caribbean, Mike served as CIO of Tory Burch, Direct Brands, Godiva Chocolatier, and served as the Director of IT at Campbell's Soup Company. Mike received bachelor's degrees in English, chemistry, economics, computers, and accounting from Seton Hall University and an executive MBA from St. Joseph's University. I recently caught up with Mike by phone in his office in Miami, Florida, and our conversation covered world-class IT Principle 2, infrastructure, as we discussed how data accumulation and management are keys to unlocking a personalized customer experience, Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed the importance of alignment between the business and IT around customer needs, and the importance of sponsorship by the executive management team to help drive IT innovations forward, along with a variety of other topics. This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as strategic facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and several other topics, all told with stories from leading CIOs from a variety of major corporations. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much.
Mike Gerisi, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you, Peter. I'm happy to be joining you, and I look forward to our conversation.
I've been looking forward to this one as well. Thank you so much for your time. So I thought we would begin with the digital transformation that Royal Caribbean, the company that you are the Chief Information Officer of, introduced a couple years ago when you introduced the Quantum of the Sea as the world's first smart ship. Some of the things that are attached to that, faster than ever Wi-Fi, robotic bartenders, virtual balconies, RFID luggage tags, just to name a few of the features. I'm curious about where the journey stands now, and as you look forward, the sorts of things that you and the team, and presumably also, of course, colleagues of yours outside of IT, are doing to continue to leverage the platform that has been established and continue to enhance guest experience.
Thank you, Peter. I think that, you know, we're incredibly proud of the progress we made through the endeavor on the Quantum class of ships, where we introduced a number of technologies that were, you know, fairly groundbreaking in regards to the cruise industry. And to be completely, you know, transparent, obviously, I was not part of the company at that point. So this was a challenge put forth by our chairman and CEO to the organization to come out with a class of ships that would enable the guest to experience a more immersive and also frictionless, if you will, type of vacation that would really change the whole aspect of what being on a ship is. So what we've been able to do is the lessons learned that have come from that are invaluable. And we have understood, you know, what technologies really worked well, what some of the ones that were less well received, and what it means in terms of continuing to evolve it. You know, much like anything that is digitally led, if you will, there's a constant iteration. There has to be a consistent learning, a feedback loop, and the entire organization has to come around that to properly, I think, adopt and understand how to take it forward. I think that, unfortunately, a lot of organizations look at it as, well, it's kind of a one and done. And we now have our mobile app, so we can go forward, and we're now digital. And the mobile app, while that's externally impactful in terms of how people may perceive the organization. The organization itself has to become a digital organization. And I think that quantum enabled this organization to unlearn where we had digital capabilities, maybe where we were lacking some capabilities, and then how we build that into the DNA of the organization. So as we evolve it and continue to iterate our solution forward, it becomes more meaningful to our guest and hopefully productive for our business.
That's great, Mike. And I'm curious, you know, digital, as you mentioned, is a fairly comprehensive topic and it is a team sport. How is the topic organized within the organization? Who are your primary interlocutors as you think about topics related to digital, as you point out, internally and externally focused?
Well, I think within our organization, it really starts with our chairman and CEO. I mean, he is completely committed to us being a digitally first thinking business. And I think for a lot of organizations, if the senior leadership team is not committed or kind of sponsoring it, it's much like other enterprise-like transformation programs. It either becomes an IT project, which means that it's probably going to be suboptimal at best, or it becomes kind of the bright shining object that shines bright for a brief period of time and then disappears into the recesses when something else takes the mantle. When I joined the company in September of 2015, what I found was an organization that was really hungry and had tremendous passion for technology. I mean, if you think about our business, Peter, we are a shipbuilding business, along with being a hospitality business and a vacation business. We create these products that are engineering marvels, and we're able to put things on ships that other companies have not considered and didn't think was possible. And because of that, we have tremendous aspirations in terms of what technology should be and how it should work within our organization. My focus was being able to harness that passion and say, how do I interconnect with all different aspects of the business so that we're starting to talk on a common language and starting to think strategically, cross-functionally. Digital here is not an IT project. If this is a program led out of the office of our CEO, we have multiple partners throughout the organization to drive it. And I think it's the only way it can be successful, because when you look at an organization that's coming into this digital transformation, in most cases, the IT function is either not part of the normal business cadence, or if they are, they're not in a position to really transform this by themselves. So I work with digital group. We have a marketing group, obviously. We have multiple operation groups that work both on the ship and on the shore. And all of those groups together have to work in complete cadence and concert. Because if we do not, we will not deliver a solution that is sustainably capable of scaling and also delivering the results that we're trying to drive towards. So I look at my role as being kind of the interconnector, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's not for me to own. I don't think anybody really owns it, quite honestly. I think if anyone to say, you know, Richard would say he owns it as a CEO, which is fine. But we have to be able to adopt it as a cross-functional team and be able to work through both the strategies as they exist, iterate those strategies. You know, there's lots of friction. There's lots of conflict, as you'd expect. But that's healthy as long as you're working towards a common objective. And once you get that objective defined, you go after it quickly. It's one of the biggest challenges has been creating that DevOps agile model within the IT organization for a team that wasn't working that way. It's a huge transformation. And I don't think people really understand how impactful it is to the team and the business, because everyone's used to working a certain way. Now, all of a sudden, you've completely turned that upside down. And if you don't put good thought to change management and really working with people and communicating why we're doing it and helping get, you know, by their hearts and minds, it's highly, highly unlikely to be successful.
Yep. Good points all around. I'm curious, this is your fourth role as Chief Information Officer after turns at Tory Burch, at Direct Brands, at Godiva. Obviously, a new industry for you relative to those. In those early days, either in preparation for the role or say in the first 100 days upon ascending into the role, I wonder how you prepared yourself. Did you take a cruise? Had you done so previously? I'm curious, like, how you put yourself in the customer's shoes, how you oriented yourself as to how technology creates value within this setting.
Well, I think that's a great point, and I don't know that people give this enough credit, right? But being able to actually spend time kind of innocuously. And I have the benefit of being able to do that because we have so many ships and there's so many ways to interact with the product that you can kind of appear without necessarily appearing very overtly. And you can really get a sense for what the experience is. Before I joined the organization, I went through our websites. I did research on overall feedback through things like Yelp and TripAdvisor. And I tried to get an essence of what people liked about the business and what they thought was lacking. And I also spoke to a number of people in the industry, like people from Accenture and other companies like that, who had worked with a number of these hospitality type companies to understand, you know, what type of challenges do they face? Like, what are some of the things that they're doing? What are they focused on? And you know, one of the things that I learned very quickly is that, you know, when you come out of retail and or direct to consumer, ERP and omnichannel and kind of this unified view of the guest are critical aspects of what you're trying to do. And at Tory, we had the benefit of having a CEO who was incredibly socially capable in terms of helping connect with people and so forth. So we built that brand in a very social-oriented way. And in fact, we never really had marketing campaigns. We had social campaigns, and that's how we grew the business. And the business grew incredibly quickly. And digital was, you know, was the most important aspect of how we ran the business. When I arrived at Royal, digital was important, but it wasn't, you know, we're not as much of a direct-to-consumer business as a retail business is. We still receive many, many bookings through the trades, and we value the trade. The trade's incredibly important to us. So omnichannel here is being able to deliver a great guest experience, regardless of how the person enters into the brand. And then how do we enable that individual to maximize their time, minimize their organization time, if you will, and not have it feel that the cruise is so overwhelming. And that's what I think our big opportunity is. I mean, I'm sure you may have seen at the Consumer Electronics Show that one of our primary competitors had a very large announcement on what their program is to help create a frictionless opportunity for their guests and so forth. You know, we're kind of on the same path. We're approaching it a little bit differently, but we're on the same path. And the idea is, if you're going to put your hard-earned money and you're going to allocate your discretionary time to our product, how can we help you maximize that time so that you are not wasting time trying to coordinate the vacation and that you're able to actually do the things you want to do and that we can let you know the things that are available, because there's a lot of things that we can do. But if we don't really understand who you are, how do we best represent that to you so you can make informed decisions quickly and then you can walk away from the overall experience with a very positive mindset and refer us as something that, you know, maybe people really don't understand the cruise industry as much as we'd like them to. And if they did, maybe we'd get more customers into it.
Yeah. As we're reviewing the places where you've worked, largely B2C organizations, which of course has the advantage of allowing everyone in the company, everyone in IT included, to experience companies, the company's offering, whatever that might be. You know, there are a lot of your peers as CIOs who, let's say, of a aerospace and defense company or of a cargo company or something like that, a B2B organization where you're not necessarily going to personally order a 747 or a rocket that's going to be launched or something like that. And so you have the advantage of more proximity between what IT is doing, and then sort of realizing it's interacting with the intended benefactors of those, of the, yes, those who are intended to, the beneficiaries, I should say. I wonder, is there a way in which you structure your team's experiences as they, for instance, take cruises to be able to draw the sorts of insights or feedback as customers themselves, customer one, if you will, as a means of then identifying new opportunities?
No question, Peter. I mean, my entire team, each one of them has taken at least one to two cruises, you know, since I've started, sometimes with their families and sometimes with their colleagues, with the intended purpose of understanding the experience and talking to people on the ship about how they experience it. I think it's invaluable feedback. And now, we do things like Net Promoter Scores, and we do lots of surveys, we collect lots of data, but I don't think there's anything like when you're talking to somebody and without disclosing necessarily, you know, what your intended purpose is, just chatting about the overall experience and gaining that feedback and that insight to how they perceive the offering. So for my team, we have to be on the ships. I mean, that is the product. If we're not on the ships, it's like when we worked at Tory or we worked at Godiva. If you're not in the store, you're not where the product is, you're not interacting with the customer or the guest, you really have no idea how they're perceiving it. You can create your perception, but it's not fact-based. And I think that for us, it's even more important because regardless of how we actually get the reservation, the guest is going to be a direct guest once they're on our product. And that journey starts as soon as they think about going on a cruise. So our team is actively engaged in every single touch point. And what I want them to do, and what we do actually, is not only are we engaged, but we're working with our business colleagues, whether it's in hotel operations, food and beverage, maritime, the various different aspects that make up this organization, and providing those feedback loops. Because I think those feedback loops are critical. And that's what allows us to learn more about what's working, what isn't, how we can do it better, and then what we might want to do to evolve the organization. I think our role is to disrupt our business. We want to disrupt ourselves before we are disrupted. Right. And I think that there's lots of ways to disrupt the cruise business. To me, it's all about this concept of guest centricity. At Torrey, we had a clienteling program that enabled us to help people shop themselves or be shopped for in a very authentic way. And what it led to was incremental growth around programs that, I mean, if you know, think about it as if your wife or significant other, whoever it may be, liked the brand and you wanted to buy something for that brand, the odds of you knowing the size, the style, the type of theme, it's not great. And if we can help you with that, then you can actually purchase something that was an amazing product that really showed a level of interest in that person that would be meaningful. And we had so many stories of people saying, thanks so much. It was a huge success and she's super happy and I'm thrilled. And we want to do the same thing here, but it's a little bit different because it's not so much of a gift per se. It's more around, do we really understand who you are? And can we talk to you in a way that's meaningful and genuine so that we can introduce you to things that are interesting and fascinating that you'd want to participate in? You know, the first time I tried to book a cruise, I was quite frankly shocked at the amount of information that was sent to me. It was too much information. And I almost felt like Royal was trying to say, hey, we don't want you to miss anything, so here's everything. And I wasn't really interested in everything. There was about 5% of what they sent me that I was actually interested in. I realized that there wasn't a program that really was unified around who I am. So that's one of the things that we're trying to do, which is really create these authentic relationships with people so that we could show them both what they'd obviously like and then recommend things that might be on the periphery, but hopefully have some sort of correlated relationship and see how that goes and see if it actually gets traction. But this whole concept of clienteling, knowing our guests, being able to authentically deliver service to them in a meaningful way and just making it easier is all about this concept of digital. It's not just the guest, it's the crew. It channels all the way back through the organization. I mean, one of the things that I said when we first started is we have to take a filter in terms of what we're doing. Is everything pivots to digital. It does not matter what we're doing. If it's not leading us to a better digital experience, we have to really ask ourselves why we're doing it. And secondly, our perspective has to be outward in. We've been so reservation out focused in terms of driving that capability that we haven't been as much guest in. And guest in, crew in, is what really drives the delivery of the product. And if we're able to adopt that, then we can structure ourselves in concert with that, which will lead us to delivering better solutions, I believe.
That's great. As we've talked about, there's so much data that is available on the ships themselves. They're essentially like floating data centers at this point, the amount of information literally on the ships, but also, of course, how customers are using the Wi-Fi, where they're doing, you know, what it is that they're doing. I'm only scratching the surface here. I'm curious, how do you think about both the collection, but of course, more importantly, using all the data that is collected on a cruise ship once it leaves port?
Yeah, I think it's a huge opportunity for our business. The amount of data we collect, as you correctly pointed out, is significant. It's kind of hard not to. It's a floating city. And when people are interacting with the product, there's lots of interaction points where we can capture information. You know, I think we're starting to really understand how to define the guest, if you will. And what I mean by that is guest is not a reservation. The guest is actually a human being. And the reservation is an attribute to that human being, but it's not the focus of the event, if you will. And I think that shift is something that we're still going through. So my goal, working with all of our colleagues and cross-functional teams, is to properly define what is that guest journey. and where are the points of information that we're collecting that are valuable, and who is it valuable to, and making sure that it's presented in a format that's digestible and actionable, and that we can make intelligent and informed decisions on what to do with that information. Now, this can't feel too big brotherish, right? It really needs to be about how are we adding value. I think there's just as many data points on the crew as there is on the guest. And I think we've really suboptimized, if you will, the opportunity to understand how to make the crew experience better. So there's a big opportunity there. And the harmonization of the crew and guest piece, I think, is the big unlock. So I think there's obvious instance of this is what Disney did with the Magic Band, and then throughout their parks and so forth, you know, in regards to what they've been able to do in terms of automating and creating these frictionless experiences. And the amount of data they capture is massive. The question is, what do you do with it? And I think that you have to have defined use cases. So if we're going to collect information on how often someone eats at a certain restaurant, that's wonderful. What do you want to do with it? Because if we're just collecting it and associating it with some sort of key file, but we're not doing anything with it, it just becomes useless information. So to me, the bigger transformation is not so much the collection of it, it's getting the organization to think about what can we do with this data and how do we set up processes and people to drive decisions off of that. And to me, that's the big unlock with digital. The experiential aspect of it is the most obvious form of it. It's now you're doing that. What are you doing to consistently iterate and evolve and differentiate your offering based on what you're doing? And that's about organization and organization change. That's just as much of a focus as the mobile application would be.
Very interesting. You've also talked that you embrace the idea, what is traditionally referred to as shadow IT, a term that you actually don't care for. I'm curious why that is, as well as the implications on how you have organized the IT function at Royal Caribbean.
So what I mean by shadow IT is the following. I think that, I mean, if you're thinking about the state of industry as a whole, technology is such a critical aspect of it. How do you run a multi-billion dollar business without having a technology strategy that permeates almost every aspect of what you're doing? I don't think it's possible. I don't think you can be successful without it sustainably. I really don't. So to me, there's not a single person who can do all of that successfully in an agile and responsive manner that enables the business to constantly move at the pace it needs to move. Now, we have a saying within Royal is that the pace of change will never be as slow as it is right now. So for us to be able to go faster, we have to be more agile, smarter, more capable, and we have to have resources at the point of interaction. So for example, we have an HR team here that is doing amazing work on mobilizing crew activity for a number of people who have to travel all over the world consistently. That development, that mobile development, happens in concert with IT very close to the HR organization. I don't consider that shadow IT. It's just IT. If we're enabling that team to be successful and we've set proper standards and frameworks and processes around ensuring that we're delivering a product that has high quality, that performs, that people like to use and they get value out of, what difference does it make if it reports directly to me or I'm influencing that? It doesn't matter. What matters is that we have the framework that enables the organization to outcompete the competition that we are competing against. And we're not just competing against the Carnivals and NCLs. We're competing against every single company that creates a guest experience or a customer experience. Because each time that bar is raised, that's the standard that gets applied across all other parties that that company is, that guests is participating with. And if you are not up to standards, they will find a solution that is. So I don't think it's possible to have that follow some very bureaucratic and slow process that takes months to approve and basically handcuffs the organization. So to me, if I have IT resources all over the company that, and this is the key part, that are working together and are not working against each other, I think that's a huge asset because that's a technology company. And we are not a technology company in the sense that we're building tech to sell it. We're creating technology to enhance and enable our product to be successful. How can we not have the entire organization understand what that means if we're going to be successful? So that's how I see it. I just don't think it's possible. I think the role of the CIO has completely changed. Now, we talked earlier about these concepts of, you know, what are the common themes between the various jobs that I've had. In almost every one of them, very few people understand the role of IT in a company. It's just not something that business leaders are able to grasp in an innate form. My job is to help them understand that. And I think that the less we're talking about technology, and the more we're talking about business solutions, and we're executing and we're delivering against that, the more impactful, the more valuable the IT organization is.
It's interesting, Mike. It seems like a theme that runs through this conversation and certainly is underscored in your most recent comments is the need to be close with the rest of the organization such that you understand their needs. You understand that this, of course, includes the customer. So I should say the organization as well as could the end customer as well. Getting yourself in as many conversations such that you understand how demand is being shaped at the point at which it's being created, and maybe having a role to help to shape that as well, so that you're not just talking about IT for IT's sake, but you're talking about the value or the ways in which you can help them seize an opportunity that they've articulated or perhaps you've articulated with them more readily.
Yes, absolutely. When I first started, we created three primary umbrella objectives, if you will, to help kind of galvanize and focus the team. One is we have to do what we say we're going to do. We have to do it really well. And we have to do that all the time. Your credibility is completely compromised if you can't deliver stable, secure, capable technology services on an everyday basis. The second thing was all about alignment with our organization. I felt that we had opportunity to be more integrated into those conversations so that as demand was created, it was created in the context of architecture and strategy and kind of understanding, you know, why would we do it this way versus that way. And I think that, you know, we can't be in a place where we're order taking. Like, we have to be advising. Our vision is this statement: we want to be the most trusted technical advisor to our organization, who they trust and believe best provides technology consulting and advices to the organization. We have to be that, the internal IT team. If we're not that, then quite frankly, why are we here? Because if they can go buy that someplace else, then why do they need to pay us to do this? And for us to be able to do that, Peter, we have to have really smart, capable people who understand not just the technology piece, but also the business. They have to really understand the business, and they have to be able to assimilate into that organization, speak the same language, understand the challenges, and help people make really smart decisions on how we take our investment and our allocation of scarce resource forward.
That's great. I wanted to also ask you, as you look forward, say a couple of years, what are some trends that are particularly exciting you? What are some things that are beginning to make their way onto your strategic roadmap, perhaps that your team is beginning to investigate that particularly excites you looking forward?
We're really going heavy into AI and cognitive. I think that, you know, this is the next, well, it's not even next, it's here now. It's something that I think can so significantly enhance our ability to deliver services and experiences and understand our business. And we're looking at it from all aspects, not just in terms of, you know, what it means in terms of the product delivery and experience, but also in the inner workings of the organization. And, you know, I'm super excited about it. I think there's massive opportunity. It's just now becoming, I think, something that people can digest and understand. And we have a couple proof of concepts underway now, and I'm excited. I think that they're going to yield very positive results. I think that's a really, really big thing. Obviously, data. I think that this whole concept of, you know, people call it big data, whatever you want to refer to, harmonization of information, being able to get to not just the collection, but the insights. And how do we get to better insights? How do we understand what appears to be disparate data elements that actually aren't and get themes and learnings from them faster? And part of that's through cognitive, and I think part of it's in terms of how we're structured and how we think about our business. So that's also a very big piece. And I think we continue to look at robotics. There's lots of the Internet of Things, if you will, right? You know, on a ship, there's so many engineering devices, if you will. And being able to understand how that's working, how we can tune it and optimize it, how we can do better with what we have is a big opportunity. So to me, those are three areas that I think are super important. And, you know, there's other things, but I think in terms of having something that's relevant that people can tangibly think about, I think those are probably the best examples.
It's interesting as you talk about those, they are, as you point out, they're examples that are here. They're not necessarily, you know, 5 years out. That said, they are new enough, especially in large company environments, that the winning strategies aren't necessarily fully sorted out. I'm curious about how you think about the testing of ideas, the testing of new technologies, the experimentation, probably better put, required to tease out the implications of these grand and important leading technology trends, and then thinking about their application to this organization?
Well, I think there's two phases to that. One is there's the think tank phase, which is where you have really bright people who are just dreaming and visioning and, wow, this stuff's amazing. You know, we should just do it. And then there's the practical application of it back into the organization. It goes back to having strong relationships with our business partners, IT being in the business, not being IT separate of the business, and working closely with people to understand, what are the challenges? What is the problem that we're trying to solve here? It's great to deploy technology and say, hey, we deploy this tech. It's really cool and we feel incredibly good about it. If it's not adding value, Peter, what's the point of it? I get it. We learned something. It's wonderful. But maybe we could have deployed something else that actually could have been more valuable from a learning or educational perspective. I think that the innovation piece is sometimes defined as kind of, well, IT, go innovate and figure this out. And we can do that, right? We can build apps. We can do things. It's wonderful. Sometimes they win. Sometimes they lose. It's all fine. And we do that. But where I think you really get groundbreaking innovation is when you have cross-functional teams, small teams, by the way, very focused on solving or thinking about elevating something to be very different. And because we believe there's value in that, and then letting that team innovate. And I think that's where we see our biggest and best impacts. It's, you know, I think that Royal is known for innovation. We do a ton of it. It's core to the DNA of this company. You know, Richard uses an example of when he talks about putting ice rinks on ships. And he's like, look, I wanted an ice rink on a ship, but there was value in it. And everyone told me it couldn't happen. But yet now we have ice rinks on ships. There's so many degrees of innovation that go on, but it's only successful when the individual who's ultimately going to be impacted by that is hopefully part of the sponsorship of it. And they believe in it too.
Well, Mike Gerizzi, thank you so much for what was a great conversation here on the Forum on World Class IT. Really appreciate you sharing your perspectives, your great experiences now as a CIO four times over, and especially more relevantly, your experience in the roughly 18 months you've had at Royal Caribbean. It's been a great conversation.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategy's Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of world class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.